Tom Gilmer, a Republican running for Congress. He's from Madison. He's going to talk. We're bringing him on in just a moment. He's going to talk about the efforts that the Republicans are making in their attempt to take back Connecticut. We have a little bit of info. You know, let's bring him on right now. We'll talk to him. We'll ask him some of these questions instead of me reading some stuff on him. Tom, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Fantastic. Excited to be on. I really appreciate you guys giving me the time to kind of talk to you about what's going on with the Republican Party and what we are doing.
Well, first and foremost, let me ask you, Tom, that it's pretty unique when you've already thrown your hat in the ring for a congressional run when we're still in the midst of municipal elections.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, the reason I did that is because we have a history over the past 13 years of waiting for the convention to try to beat the Democratic machine. This party has been in control for roughly 35, 40 years, and we really need to work harder and smarter. And that means starting earlier. So I threw my hat in the ring very soon because we need to raise the money, we need to raise the brand, we need to raise the awareness that we have a viable candidate who's running in 2020 so that we can get the attention from Washington, D.C., and we can take back Eastern Connecticut. And I 100% believe we can do that.
How are you going to do it?
How are we going to do that? Exactly what I said, raise money and knock on doors. And, I mean, if you look at it, the data, Connecticut as a whole, I think, gives, well, in 2016, gave $30 million nationally to political races, yet only $3 million stayed in the state. So to me, that shows that there's a viability issue, that somebody doesn't believe in somebody else. Mm. So that's why we're starting earlier and going around so that we have somebody that you can believe in, somebody who is putting the effort in and working hard. And that's going to generate the money, that's going to generate the activity and the energy, and it's got to start now.
You'll be taking on incumbent Joe Courtney. Should you get the nomination next year, Joe has been in office in Congress since 2007. So, I mean, he's been there for quite a while. Why do you think he's sustained his position for so long?
Yeah, I think, again, it comes back to the fact, and I've gone door to door, right? And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But talking to the people and even Republicans, there hasn't been somebody to give them a reason to either vote for a congressional candidate. I mean, look at the last race we had. The guy didn't raise any money. The guy didn't talk to anybody. How are you going to vote for somebody you don't know? It's kind of like voting for the evil you know versus the evil you don't know. Mm. And now we're going out there and we're showing them, hey, there's a viable Republican candidate who wants to represent you and represent Eastern Connecticut. And Joe has a problem because he has 13 years, almost 14 years, in 64 towns of unanswered issues. This guy is very good at smoke and mirrors, no different than Chris Murphy. And he talks about electric boat. He shows up for a couple photo ops in July and August. And then the rest of the year, he does absolutely nothing except for vote within 10% of Nancy Pelosi and 6% of AOC. So really, we have a radical in office. This guy pretends to be a conservative. He shows up at the AG Woodstock Fair. He shows up in Voluntown at the statue revealing that was this weekend. And he tries to be buddy-buddy and be nice Joe because that's the brand he's painted. But if you talk about his record, if you talk about what he's done in the district, he's not nice Joe. He's radicalized Eastern Connecticut in the past 13 years, and he's going to continue to do that if he goes unopposed by anybody who's not a viable candidate.
What do you mean he's radicalized Eastern Connecticut? What does that mean?
Sure, I mean, radicalized, I mean, if you look at his voting record, right, he's looking to align himself with AOC. Mm-hmm. He's supporting, he's a co-sponsor of this Green Deal. He, during his tenure, I should say, in Congress, we've lost 12% of our jobs.
Uh-huh.
12% of our jobs are gone. One out of eight families are gone. So there's obviously an issue. And if you look at the state as a whole and the money that the Democratic parties are putting in the state, look at all these taxes we have coming out. And it starts at the top, because that funding, no different than Chris Murphy and his super PACs, are going into the state level, because he has nobody who can run against him and raise that kind of capital, because nobody starts soon enough to take them on. So that's where we're starting now.
So do you think Joe Courtney just wins just because his name is Joe Courtney? In other words, he's got the name recognition?
I think right now that's it. And again, it goes back to the fact that people are ticked off at him. And I went on his Facebook page yesterday, and I'm reading people's comments. People going, I used to support you, but then.
Yeah.
People will vote if they have a viable candidate.
Have you ever held elected office?
I have not held elective office. I've been a very active Republican. Mm-hmm. I ran against my girlfriend's father back when I was a senior in high school for school board. Was my first election.
Is she still your girlfriend?
No. That ended with the election.
Yeah, I bet.
And the three-peat on Friday. But after that, I really got active in grassroots and fundraising for the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. I worked heavily in college with the Ohio Republican Party, because I attended the University of Akron for a couple years. And a lot of those individuals who are friends of mine are now congressmen themselves in D.C. or chief of staff in D.C. And so I have a very good network that I'm relying on to help build a strong campaign and a strong team over the next 14 months to take on Joe.
And learning about you, you're a roofer, right?
Yeah, so I do commercial industrial roofing.
And you're 28 years old.
28, yeah.
You're a young guy. So do you foresee yourself being challenged for or primaried, if you will, for this next year?
I mean, there's always the opportunity, but I mean, I think history repeats itself. And we'll talk about this too when we talk about what the Republican Party needs to do moving forward and is going to do.
Yeah, what are you going to do differently? I mean, how do you get... Forget about when you get down to D.C. I mean, in your campaign, because you've got to win. Yeah. You've got to beat Joe Courtney first. So what are you going to do differently than previous challengers to him?
Well, first off, we got to start from the bottom up. And what do I mean by that? Is these local town elections are so important. And I've been talking about that for the past 6 months, and it's now starting to trend, and people are really starting to dig their teeth into it. And what do I mean by that is the Democrats have known for a long time that if you can take over the towns, then you can take the marginal victories at the state level and work your way up, because they already have the federal level. They're not worried about that. But if they want complete control, they got to start the municipal and pour money in there, so that they can take the rest of the state and kind of control what's happening in Hartford. And that's what they've been doing successfully. So now what I'm encouraging and what I'm participating in is getting feet on the ground and going door to door and working extremely hard to take back our towns at a local level, because then we have a strong foundation for 2020 and a very strong grassroots campaign.
Yeah, you say going door to door. I can tell you, I was elected as well. I served two terms in the House of Representatives here in the state of Connecticut on the state level. And I know walking my district and knocking on every door, I started the day after Memorial Day, which is in late, obviously in the last Tuesday of the month of May, is the day after Memorial Day. And I went right up until the day before Election Day in November. I mean, I've walked the streets of my town three times. I can only imagine how you could walk door to door in a congressional district. How do you plan? Is that what's exactly?
64 towns over half the geographical area of the state. So that's why we're starting now. I'm literally going every weekend with local candidates in the towns in my district. And we're going door to door. Now, I'm supporting their campaigns and their candidacy, but I'm also being a part of their, hey, I'm Tom Gilmer. I'm running for Congress in 2020. But today, I'm here in your town with candidate A. And we're talking about these issues that affect your town, and I'd like to make that introduction. And so then I give them kind of the floor with the person that they were going to the house with. And it's kind of getting that brand out and creating a sense of camaraderie between the towns and my campaign, because it starts with the towns. It starts with taking back our homes and keeping our homes strong. And with good leadership, then we can take 2020.
You know, and I understand. Listen, that's great. Those are. I wish we do. We could take back Connecticut. And we hear "take back Connecticut" in that phrase year after year after year, and it gets us nowhere. Are you afraid though that being 28 years old, never having held elected office either on the municipal level or on the state level, that that you won't be taken seriously, and that even Joe Courtney himself would be like, oh. It's good to see the youth get involved in government and politics. And how do you maintain the seriousness of in sure. keeping your eye on the ball and being focused?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great question. I mean, one of the things is this is a very, very – the gravity of this position is huge. This is a position that holds such nostalgic responsibility that I do take it very seriously. So some of the things I do, I run a professional organization with my personal company and with my campaign itself. You know, being 28-year-old and running, I don't think that should really affect people taking it seriously as far as a candidate. I mean, we have a president who never held elective office, and, you know, yes, he's older and has a business that made more money, but, you know, I think that because of what he was able to accomplish in 2016, that stereotype of you need to have been an elected official to do X, Y, Z, that kind of has been, people had enough. And I think in the state of Connecticut, people had enough as well.
Yeah.
When you're talking about, is Joe Courtney taking me seriously? I think he absolutely is. And I know he is. Mm. I've never seen him as active as he has been now. And I've had people tell me that as well, who are in the state representation, saying we've never seen Joe come out this early. We've never seen Joe have to do X, Y, Z. And I ran into him twice on Saturday at events that they said, oh, we don't think he's going to show up. But because now he's got somebody active this early and somebody who they believe is viable,
mm-hmm.
You know, he's starting early to try to be out in the press and kind of pull a Dick Blumenthal and just get his face in the press as much as he can.
You know, I am sure that you have checked this all out, but whether you think so or not, Joe Courtney is very popular. People like Joe Courtney. He's been out there, he's been here, and he's been around. How do you beat somebody like that?
Expose his voting record. Nice guys aren't necessarily nice guys.
Mm.
And it's smoke and mirrors.
No, you're right. I completely agree with you.
Image, and if you expose his voting record, and you talk about, hey, are things better now in 2019 than they are or they were in 2007? The answer is no.
You're right.
So
yeah.
In 13 years, Joe, what have you actually done? Show me your scoreboard. Show me what you've accomplished for us. Because if the best thing that you can do to help our agricultural market is by suggesting that we put more flavors and preservatives and additives in our children's milk at school, we have a problem, because that is the least creative solution to helping our farmers out. And, you know, again, he's not thinking clearly. And he's stagnant, and we need to change things. And I think people see that.
All right, well, Tom, we're running out of time, so I got one more question for you. And, you know, juxtaposing yourself against Joe Courtney is great. You know, you are the anti-Joe Courtney because you could expose his record. But in about 30 seconds, tell me sure. your platform, not about being the anti-Joe Courtney and absolutely. All the bad things he's done. In 30 seconds or less, tell me about you and your platform. What are you going to do for your district and Congress?
Perfect. So first off, what we're going to start with is we get 74 cents back to the dollar from what D.C., when we get to D.C. If you look at states that have a great booming infrastructure like South Carolina, they're getting $8 back. So we have this issue with our infrastructure that's not been updated, and the issues on Route 11, issues on 95. We need a congressman who's going to be active in seeking that funding and not holding up the infrastructure bill in the House of Representatives and helping our district continue to grow with the times. We also need to focus on our high-tech manufacturing sector. There's tens of thousands of jobs in Eastern Connecticut that are not being filled because we don't have the proper education and marketing to help kids
Great.
Have the differentiation of choosing between $120,000 debt at college and a high-tech manufacturing job where they're making $60,000 to $80,000 a year.
Thanks so much, Tom.
We don't have that.
We really appreciate your time this morning, and we look forward to having you back. Good luck in your campaign.